The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration, and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. The Gospel of the Lord. Christ, the Son of Righteousness, shine upon us and scatter the darkness before our path. Christ, who by your incarnation gathered into one all things earthly and heavenly, fill us with your joy and peace. Amen. Please be seated. Good evening. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Christmas is this blessed day for which we get to stay home from work. Well, in most cases. Christmas is this festive season when we bring trees and plants inside and put lights outside, the behavior of lunatics, but I say go for it. Christmas is a glorious celebration that extends from 2 weeks before Halloween through the day after tomorrow, when the Stop and Shop will inevitably roll out their Valentine's candies. Bring on the heart-shaped antacids. This evening, we commemorate the Nativity of our Lord, Jesus of Nazareth, the Christ, God incarnate, Emmanuel, God with us, a Savior whose singular but infinite and daring act of emptying himself of power defeated all of the competition. A person who dared us to live in the midst of that grand competition between the powers of death and the God who creates life, sustains life, and redeems the earth and all of the cosmos. A child of whom we will sing in procession this evening, "Mild he lays his glory by, born that we no more may die, born to raise us from the earth, born to give us second birth, risen with healing in his wings, light and life to all he brings." I offer to you the words of Paul from his letter to the Philippians. He says, "Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself. The King James Version of the Bible translates this action of Jesus in these words: he made himself of no reputation. The New Living Translation of the Bible says it this way: he gave up his divine privileges. Whatever way one might translate the action of Jesus, it is clear that he resisted the urge to exercise power over others. On the cross, just as he did in the wilderness, just as God did in the life of Jesus, born a vulnerable child. As Giles Frazer puts it, from here on in, God would cry, bleed, and, horror of horror, defecate. No longer omnipotent nor omniscient, God would be vulnerable to the constituent conditions of humanity. Yet the astonishing assertion of the Christmas story is that the God who comes as a pathetic child is all the more godlike for the total evacuation of power. To be godlike is to evacuate one's power for the sake of others, which means that to follow Jesus, to be Jesus' disciples, to walk in the way of the one who shows us the way, is to dare to evacuate our power. Because God is all in, and God dares us to divest our power for the sake of all. Between services tonight, we were watching It's a Wonderful Life, and there is a moment in this quintessential Christmas classic when George Bailey meets his antagonist, old Mr. Potter, face to face. Now, Potter is the richest man in town. He owns everything except George's savings and loan. And Potter desperately wants to get rid of the competition. So, Potter offers George the opportunity of a lifetime. A job with a hefty salary, and business trips to New York, and even Europe. George has always wanted to be rich, successful, and especially well-traveled. But every time an opportunity has come along, he's chosen to empty himself, his pockets, his time, for the sake of someone in need. And now, hearing Potter's offer, George assumes that maybe all of his goodwill has finally paid off. He is enchanted by Potter's offer. That is until George reaches out and shakes Potter's cold hand and realizes that he's just begun to make a deal with the devil. He pulls back his hand and refuses the deal and dares to live his domesticated life, running his old savings and loan and raising his family in a drafty old barn with too many kids. Now, while Mr. Potter might be the antagonist in this film, George's adversary is actually within himself. His adversary is his desire to climb the social ladder, to build himself a reputation, to get out of town, to stockpile power. George's adversary is one and the same as the one Jesus meets in the wilderness. The one Jesus confronts at the gates of Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. And the one who Jesus defeats in the singular but infinite action of dying on the cross. Now, I know it's not Good Friday, but stick with me. This adversary, this tempter, knows each and every one of us. Each and every one of our families, our places of work, schools, our governments, and our churches. Like an infection, this adversary infiltrates and weakens the body and spreads to others if left untreated or ignored. Pope Francis, a few days ago, called one of the fruits of this adversary spiritual Alzheimer's. The Pope said, "We see spiritual Alzheimer's in the people who have forgotten their encounter with the Lord, in those who depend completely on their here and now, on their possessions, passions, whims, and manias, in those who build walls around themselves and become enslaved to the idols that they have built with their own hands." Spiritual Alzheimer's, the act of forgetting our encounter with the Lord. Now, like the Pope, the prophet Isaiah in our reading this evening dares God's people to deconstruct their walls, to dismantle their idols that enslave them with the very same hands that helped to create them. Isaiah dares the people of Israel to begin to rebuild not only a physical city, but a living, breathing city, a community that will draw all people to the heart of God. Take no rest, Isaiah says, and dare to give God no rest until God establishes Jerusalem and makes it renowned throughout all the earth. But he makes it clear that this power is not God's alone. As God's children are not mere automatons, we, God's children, are full participants in this paradoxical evacuation of power, which, when engaged, is more powerful than anyone could ever imagine. God dares us to, with these hands, deconstruct the identities that restrict our very being, the idol of power that so often enslaves us. God dares us to use these hands to dismantle walls that seem to protect us from danger while actually preventing us from experiencing abundant life. God dares us to use these hands to lay down our need for carefully constructed impervious identities, to lay down our power over one another, and to simply rest in the blessed assurance that we and everyone around us are beloved children of God. Now, I want you to pray with me for a moment. Pray with me in the words of the prophet Bruce. Bruce Springsteen, that is. Because when the boss wrote the song, My City of Ruins, he wrote it for a community near and dear to his heart in Asbury Park, New Jersey. Like the ghost of Christmas present, Springsteen reveals the truth of the present and calls on all to rise up and with these hands to dare to begin again. So here's how this works. I will make an intercession, several of them, and you will respond with these hands. So say it with me, with these hands. Everybody, with these hands. There we go. I don't want muffled voices. I want conviction. I want passion because all, what, 300 or 400 of us are not gathered in a darkened church on Christmas Eve for nostalgia's sake, but for the sake of the world, for the sake of our lives, and for the sake of pointing to God, and for the sake of orienting the entire world toward the one who truly has the power, the one who empowers us to delight in our celebrations and pass on that gratitude to the rest of the world, the one who evacuates power for our sake and calls on us to do the same with these hands. So we pray, Lord, with these hands. We pray for the strength, Lord, with these hands. We pray for the faith, Lord, with these hands. We pray for your love, Lord, with these hands. We pray for the lost, Lord, with these hands. And we pray for this world, Lord, with these hands. That's right. Help us to rise up, Lord, with these hands. Help we, the church, to rise up and be a part of what you are doing to redeem this world. We know you'll redeem this world with or without us. So help us to rise up, Lord, with these hands. Now, can I get an amen?
Amen.
And hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Now, I dare you. I dare you, and God dares you, and God dares each and every one of us tonight and tomorrow and every day hereafter to commit to remembering the astonishing assertion of the Christmas story. That the God who comes as a pathetic child is all the more godlike for the total evacuation of power. God dares us to see what this world might be like if we actually followed the example of our Lord Jesus from Nazareth, the Christ, God incarnate, Emmanuel, God with us, to see what life can be when we remember our encounter with the Christ child in a new way, every day. A child of whom we sing. Mild he lays his glory by, born that we no more may die. Born to raise us from the earth. Born to give us second birth. Risen with healing in his wings. Light and life to all he brings. Hail the Son of Righteousness. Hail the heaven-born Prince of Peace. Hark the herald angels sing. glory to the newborn king. Have a Merry Christmas, I dare you. In the name of the one who dares us to truly live, in the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Amen.